4 o'clock, and we do so tonight on Total Access with number 90. Big Roy Miller sits here with us on the Buccaneers Radio Network. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Got the day, you know, had a little break today. Got to hang out with the family. So, you know, feeling refreshed right now, feeling good, feeling ready.
I always like at the end of the week to put this question out there because fans are most curious. How has the week of preparation gone for this team getting ready for Denver?
It's gone good. And, you know, with Coach Shiano, you know, he does a great job preparing us, you know, every week. You know, he has a good feel of the team and, you know, does a good job talking to the captains or whatnot. And so, you know, I feel like every week, you know, even though the season's been getting longer, that we've been, you know, preparing the right way.
We are going to talk so much in so many different ways, and fans are going to probably call us and ask or tweet and ask about Peyton Manning. What has it been like this week to look at game tape of Peyton Manning? First of all, it's got to be bizarre to see him in Denver Broncos colors,
no
but
doubt.
What's it been like watching game tape and getting ready to go against Manning in the offense?
It's just crazy. You know, the guy has a great feel of his offense, and you know, he could just read out anything, you know, the slightest movement, anything that the defense gives him, he'll take it. You know, he does a great job, you know, just scanning everything and being able to command that offense. And so, you know, it's definitely a big challenge for us. And, you know, like you said, it's just crazy seeing him in a Broncos jersey.
I've asked this earlier in the week of Gerald McCoy and of Rondae Barber, that how much of the Peyton Manning of old does he look like with the throws and with the ability to move that offense? I guess the more pointed question, does it look like the Peyton Manning of old?
Definitely. I mean, you know, it was crazy because I was looking at the paper and I finally kind of put everything in perspective. He's like 36 years old and playing in the league, you know, over 12 years, you know, foot is it 15 years?
This is 15th year.
It's
right?
Crazy. And, you know, you watch him on film, you know, and you want to look for, you know, those weaknesses, you know, as a player, but there really aren't. You know, the guy is moving well in the pocket. You know, he's doing all the things that we talk about here, you know, protecting the ball in the pocket, you know, just doing all in it. And then he has the ability to scramble. And so, you know, he's good with his feet, but, and like I said, I mean, he always finds somebody open, and, you know, like everybody knows in America, he can get the ball to those receivers. And so, like I said, you know, you watch a guy like this and you hope, you know, not to see a highlight show, but, you know, most of the time that's the case with him.
Again, the voice of Roy Miller with us here tonight for the full hour. You can join us via the phones. Do so at 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free, wherever you can hear the show, outside the Tampa Bay area. And with technology, Roy, you know this being what it is. There's Buck fans everywhere hearing us all over the place. They can dial us up wherever they can hear us at 1-800-596-BUCKS. 1-800-596-2827 is the toll-free number to ring in from wherever you're listening tonight outside the Bay Area. And you can also tweet me a question or a comment for Roy. Do so at Buck Sideline Guy, B-U-C, Buck Sideline Guy, and we'll get some of those. We've been fascinated. We've heard from several callers this week and last week that are coming to the Denver game that live in Colorado, live in Utah, live out in the West, in the Mountain Time Zone, or even somewhere beyond that are coming to this game. Have you been impressed when we have gone on the road these last few games? Carolina, obviously, closer, but we went all the way out to Oakland, and there were a lot of Buck fans, friends and family members of some players. We went to Minnesota, Roy, as you know, and there were Buck fans in the jerseys and the shirts. What's that like for a player to have looked around and seen that?
It's a great feeling. We're strong everywhere, you know, in Europe. Everywhere I've gone, you know, we've always had a great presence everywhere. And, you know, I mean, the fans are just – we got great fans, you know. We got fans that travel. We got fans in every state. You know, I grew up all – you know, in Texas, you know, a fan of the Bucks. And so
– Did you really?
I did.
You're not just saying that.
No way. You know, you got guys like Warren Sapp and, you know, Booger McFarland, all these guys that I watch, you know, growing up. And, you know, they really – I say it – all the time, they really kind of made the position of defensive tackle kind of sexy. You know, Warren Sapp, if you can imagine back, boy, as you guys know, you know, in his day, you know, it was cool to be, I'm not an offensive, you know, even offensive lineman were lying, yeah, I'm a defensive tackle, you know, I'm going to wear 99. I mean, look around the league, look around everywhere, just wearing 99 kind of, you know, gives you a little bit of swag.
I like that. So, growing up, junior high school, even in Texas, you were paying attention to the Buccaneers.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I've always
You didn't grow up rooting for the Cowboys.
Nah,
it's almost like a birthright in Texas that you have to.
And you're right, but you know, I've always liked the uniform, and I love the way the defense played. You know, they just had so many players. You know, I used to play Madden when I was a kid, and you know, you pick the Bucks, and you just knew that defense was going to bring it, and you know, so many weapons, you know, across the line and you know everywhere, and so. You know, for me, I definitely was a big fan.
Have you ever gotten to interact with Sapp Brooks? I know John Lynch is doing the television on this game. He does our preseason games. He's done some TV games. But have you gotten to interact, though, with some of these guys like Sapp or like
– I've talked to Lynch, Booger. Me and him talk frequently, and, you know, he always kind of points things out. You know, he's been working with me in the offseason and things like that, which is, you know, an honor in itself, you know, just like playing this game this week against Peyton Manning and all these guys, you know, just, you know, being around greatness, you know, like those guys and talking to them and them showing me some things. Actually, Booger McFarland, he was coached by Mike Tolleson, who coached me in college. So we kind of, you know, Coach Tolle used to tell me stories about him all the time.
Really?
So I kind of, you know, it just reinforced my you know, the big fan inside me for those guys. And like I said, I mean, I've always had a lot of respect for those guys.
Now, have you ever met 99, though? You ever spoken
to him? I've met him before, briefly.
Because next week, a lot of the alumni are going to be around, and you're going to hear much more about this after the Denver game, but a lot of the alumni will be here for the 10-year anniversary of beating the Eagles in the NFC title game and then winning the Super Bowl, obviously, as we get ready to play the Eagles next week. And it appears that 99 will be among the alumni that will be here, and apparently he also wrangled John Gruden, who's still busy doing Monday Night Football, et cetera, who's here. He's and a lot of the other guys. I mean, obviously, Derek Brooks still lives here. John Lynch will be working the game again next week on TV. But, I mean, others, Brad Johnson and others will be here and be in it, including the MVP, Dexter Jackson, will be here and be around all this. So pretty cool, those guys that you used to watch and be around. You're now playing. You're in a uniform. And now you get to be around some of that next week. I know it's going to be business for the players, but it's going to be neat for the fans, though, to have some nostalgia and be part of this 10 years later.
Don't get me nervous, man. You know, yeah, I'm playing in front of the guys that I grew up, you know, idolizing. But, no, I mean, you know, it's going to – you know, most of those guys pretty much own Tampa anyway. You know, they you know, they pretty much giving houses for free and stuff out here.
Oh, really? So, is that what you heard?
So, you know, it is not a big deal to come back to Tampa for most of those guys. But, it'll be exciting. I'm excited to be able to see these guys. And what an honor for them, you know, to be – to come back and be recognized for, you know, for putting this place on the map.
Over 50, I'm told, players and coaches will be part of this for next week. So we're excited, obviously, about that and what's going to happen there next week when we get to all of that. Again, you can join us on the phones. You can tweet in some questions, and we will talk a lot more about the Denver Broncos. We'll get into some of Roy's story as we go. Hey, this is before we go to the first time out here, this is the obvious one. You have been around here. It's interesting in your 4 years, your rookie year. I don't have to tell you this. It was a struggle. This team played poorly. And then suddenly, this team got it together and won 10 games your second year. And then last year, obviously, a 10-game losing streak, a change with the coaching staff. And now here we are again in 2012, where you're not home yet, but this team is clearly improved at this juncture of the season. What has that been like, experiencing both ends, kind of as you have as a player in just 4 years in the league?
It's been crazy, you know, especially for me coming out of college. Just kind of used to winning and being a part of that winning program and coming in here and you know, doing the ups and downs. But, you know, it's been crazy, no doubt. But I think that Coach Shiano has done a great job and set a lot of foundation for this place and in the future. You know, accountability and all the things that he preaches is something that, you know, like I said, it's gonna lay this foundation. It's going to be around here for a while. You know, you got guys that, you know, they want to, you know, they believe in everything we believe in, you know, trust, believe, accountability, all these things that we believe in, we talk about. You know, Coach Shiano's doing a good job building this program.
You know, one thing that had to be a stark reality coming here in 09, and you see it now every year and week in and week out, is everybody in this league has got players. Everybody is good. You got to be on point or it is not easy to win in this league. Yes.
Right. Oh, no doubt, man. Every week, you know, you hear people say, you know, oh, this is going to be an easy game for you guys or this and that. And then you turn on the film and it's like, man, these guys are, you know, a few things away from being great, you know, being a great team. And, you know, that's the, you know, reason why the NFL is watched by so many people is because every team, you know, is just that much away from being great. You know, so much parity in the league. And, you know, you can't take any team for granted, you know, every week.
That is the voice of Roy Miller. Again, we will pause here. We will come back with your phone calls and comments. We will talk much more about the Denver Broncos. We'll talk some, too, about what Roy is up to off the field, what he likes and what he enjoys, including giving back to the community. He has done a lot of that. Stay with us as Buccaneers Total Access on this Friday night continues on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Here's the snap. We run a stunt. Get to him. He throws. Oh, picked off by Barber. He's got it to the 45 to the 50. Outside the numbers right. 40, 35. He's dropped to the 32. And a flag thrown at the line of scrimmage. Rondae Barber picks off the pass. Climbed a ladder to do it.
We come back in here on Total Access on this Friday night with Roy Miller, number 90, Buccaneers defensive tackle, now in his fourth season, and that a highlight there. Mean Gene Deckerhoff on the call from Sunday as that Rondae Barber guy got his 47th career interception, the all-time record by far for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So the logical question to you before we get to the phones, what's it like to be out there on the field with that guy? And let's talk about him making a play like what you saw there on Sunday at 37 years young.
Man, that guy, every week, man, he's fired up. You know, he's really one of the guys in the locker room getting us fired up before the game. And, you know, he just has so much passion for this game still, man. It's, you know, and just going out there with him, you know, like I said, and I guess I really don't ever take this experience for granted. You know, going out there with Ronnie, he was one of the guys I watched back in the day, and you know, I'm sitting here with him, and you know, every time I see him make a play, man, it's just, you know, it doesn't surprise me. And that man, I don't know when he plans to quit playing, but you know, it just seems like he has a lot more time left in him.
We hope that it's not anytime soon.
I know.
That's for sure. All right, so on that particular play, you're rushing Matt Ryan with Gerald McCoy and your mates. You're trying to get to him. He fires the ball, and then there's a roar from the crowd, and you're thinking somebody's got it, right?
Yep.
Somebody in buck colors has got it because
yep.
The crowd's going crazy, right?
Yep.
And then what happens?
Well, without giving away our whole, you know, everything, you know, we have one play that we run on defense, and, you know, that's the first thing we do as soon as we get the ball, and you know, and we just try to block and try to get him to the end zone.
At what point do you realize Rondae has it, or did you even realize that he had it until he'd been tackled and after it was over? Did you see him blur by?
I actually seen him, and I was just like, man, this guy just doesn't stop making plays, and like I said, I mean, it really doesn't surprise me. And you know, the second thing I guess I heard was just Gerald, you know, just, you know, telling everybody he tipped the ball. And so it was a good thing for the defense.
93 was trying to make sure everybody knew that he got a little fingertip on that while you were at it. Some guys just have a knack for being able to make those plays. And Rondae has done it, obviously, throughout his career. All right, to the phones on Total Access. We begin in Hudson with Mitchell. You're on here with Roy Miller here tonight. I almost said with Rondae, but we were on here with Roy Miller while we were talking about Rondae Barber. Hey, Mitchell.
How you doing today?
Good. How you doing, Mitchell?
Doing all right. I just have a quick question. Do you think it's better to put pressure on them by blitzing or dropping back into coverage on Peyton Manning?
Oh, man.
What have you noticed in tape, you know, and film watching that get, you know, that he messes up?
Well, number one, I don't make those calls, but execute. But you know, you definitely have to put pressure on them. You know, a guy like that, you can't let him sit back and just pick the defense apart. You know, he does a great job with that, with time. You know, and then, you know, just the slightest separation from a corner, you know, he can throw a dime, you know, to him. And so, I mean, we're going to have to do a good mix of it. And I think Coach Sheridan has a great plan for that. But like I said, I mean, the biggest thing with him is you have to get him off that spot because, like I said, if that man has it all day, he's going to find somebody and he's going to deliver right on point.
One thing that Gerald McCoy said to us that I think the fans and the media and anybody else would find fascinating, he said the thing that makes Peyton Manning so great is he can get you out of the defense you want to run and into the defense he wants
right.
you to run.
No
he
doubt.
Is so good at that, and you almost have to be ready to counterpunch and be thinking about, well, wait a minute, he knows that we know, and now we know that he knows that we know, and then it gets confusing after that. But, I mean, that is one of the aspects that throughout yeah. his career, being able to get you into a defense that he wants you in by shifting people around or whatever, that's one of the challenges
right.
this week, right?
Yeah, I mean, you show blitz, and then, you know, he's throwing it over your head. You know, you really, you know, you just have to, you know, be patient. You have to, you know, just stick to your technique, and that's what we plan to do. I mean, you definitely have to disguise against this guy. You have to do everything right, basically, which is, you know, it's crazy. But you have to be on point because that guy is like a machine out there just, like, scanning the field. Like, he has a great sense of everybody on the field and everything that's going on. So it's really hard to say, you know, like I said, I'm not the play caller, but you have to be, you know, you have to know that if you show, you know, he does a great job of checking out of those things, and he'll get his offense in a position where they're going to get a first down.
Somebody on Twitter, Scott, says, can you ask Roy about the D-line creating that kind of pressure? How important is it for the front four this week to be able to get, I mean, it's important any week, but especially
no doubt
this week with what you just said, for the front four to be able to get penetration, knock him off the spot, move him around.
No doubt. I mean, like you said, every week is important, but I mean, like these weeks, you know, it's crazy. You know, last week you play against Matt Ryan, you know, all these guys, you know, you have to get them. You can't let them sit back there. You know, these quarterbacks are, you know, so you know, premier in this league. You can't let them just sit back. You have to, you know, the D-line, we have to do a great job, you know, getting to them, no doubt.
Again, 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And toll-free, wherever you can hear us tonight, 1-800-596-BUCKS. That's the voice of Roy Miller with us here tonight at his fourth season out of the University of Texas. Well, you can get a little equal time in here tonight because McCoy's in here all the time on Wednesday night talking Oklahoma Sooners. And I heard the old man because the Sooners have been getting the better of the horns frequently. But anyway, if you want to join us on the phones, you can do so. By the way, he made mention of something, and I got to get verification of this. He said that Roy is really an Oklahoma fan.
No.
And, I mean, this is what he said. I'm not trying to start trouble here. He said, Roy is really an Oklahoma fan who went to the University of Texas. So, obviously, you dispute that.
You know what? He's confusing a fan for respect. I got a lot of respect for those guys. You know, they have a great program over there, and you know, they play us hard, and they, you know, they play in the big games. And so I have a lot of respect for them, but, you know, I'd be letting a lot of people down if I said I was a fan, and I will not admit to that.
Okay. Now, how cool is it, just in the terms of professional sports, that you're battling away at Texas, you get drafted by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you're supposed to be hating the Oklahoma Sooners your whole existence as a Texas player, and suddenly the next year a guy named Gerald McCoy gets drafted, and he's your line mate right next to you, lining up every day, practice, in the meeting room, on the field. It's kind of wild how pro sports works out.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, when he first came, I really didn't like the guy, but now we got a long history. I think this is where he gets confused. I committed to Oklahoma. You know, early.
Well, there we go. All right, now you know, there's something to this.
They were my first team, that their big school that offered me, and you know, I grew up in Killeen, where Tommy Harris is also from, and so I used to go to the games and watch him play with his parents, and so I grew up watching him.
When you committed to Oklahoma, I got to think family members stopped speaking to you. Friends are like not even wanting to cross on the same side of the street with you.
Started failing classes instantly.
Oh.
Like, kids wouldn't sit next to me in the cafeteria. Like, it was sad.
And then you suddenly said, wait a minute. Second thought.
I came to my senses and, you know, I rethought everything. And, I mean, I was lucky enough to be a part of the national championship, which Gerald doesn't have a national championship ring.
Hello. Well, that's something to put out there on Buccaneers Total Access for that.
No doubt.
I mean, those years, I mean, Vince Young in the national title that you're talking about, winning a Fiesta Bowl, as you guys did over Ohio State, where you were the defensive MVP. What, I mean, those experiences have to help you when you come into the NFL. How much do they help you that you had that kind of success at the highest college level?
I think it helps because you play against a lot of those guys that play in the NFL, you know, playing against Ohio State and all these teams where all these big offensive linemen come, you know, straight from there to the league and stuff like that. And that aspect, you know, you watch NFL games and you're like, oh, I played against that guy, or I did work against that guy, or whatever. And, you know, it just, you know, it gives you a little bit of an edge kind of when you come to the league. You know, you're like, oh, well, you know, we played each other already, or, you know, I've already seen these guys before.
Yeah, the level of competition, obviously, in the Big 12 is there as well. I mean, the Big 12 has become such a passing league. I know this. You're a young guy. You don't remember that the old Big 8 and really college football in general was so much run, wishbone. Oklahoma and Texas used to play 7-6 games, as you heard about, I know. But just running the ball, yeah. Wishbone. Now everybody throws it 50 times a game, Roy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Cedric Benson and Ricky Williams, all those guys. I mean, back in those days, it was just, you know, just line up. And, I mean, we weren't talking about, you know, rushing the passer. We were talking about, you know, getting the four-point stance and, you know, holding your gap, that type of thing. And so, I mean, that was crazy, crazy days. But, like you said, it's changed a little bit. And, like you said, they're just passing like crazy right now.
Again, the voice of Roy Miller with us here tonight as he talks with us on this Friday on Buccaneers Total Access. We'll get back to more of the Denver Broncos, but we're finding out some stuff about him and having some fun here on the radio tonight. Now, we should let the radio audience know you do have a Santa hat on. You just decided to be festive here tonight. You're in the holiday spirit. It's a Buccaneer Santa hat on. So do you really get into this time of year?
You know, it's kind of one of those bittersweet things, you know. It's that time of the year where everybody, you know, tells you, hey, you know, I don't know what to get you, or you got everything, or, you know, but, you know, it's all about the kids. And I'm just driving around the neighborhood. I'm looking at all, you know, the neighbors already. You know, it's not even December yet, and, you know, we already got our Christmas lights and trees up and stuff like that. And so I figured I might as well jump in that, you know, bandwagon as well.
All right, so this brings up the logical question here from last weekend. It was Black Friday at the malls. Did you even dare after practice and whatever last Friday, or no? No?
You know what, being around here, you kind of lose track of days and stuff like that. And I really didn't know until I went to Best Buy. And I seen people camped outside in tents and stuff. Like, man.
Then you knew.
There's no way I'm coming out the house tomorrow.
All right, so that was going on. And then, of course, now the new thing is the Cyber Monday, where everybody offers all the deals on the internet. Did you take care of some business there for the holidays on the internet or no?
I didn't. I'm one of those late shoppers, you know.
Okay.
I get a rush out of that, you know, trying to decipher, you know, over the leftover toys and stuff like that. You know, I get a rush out of that type of thing.
So you will
unfortunately.
You will do some of that at the last moment?
Yeah.
Christmas Eve, even if need be?
No.
You won't wait that late?
I've done that before, but I'm trying to do it at least the day before Christmas Eve.
Okay. No. All right. What was the coolest gift you got as a kid? Remember something that you got that really stood out, that you really wanted, and it was under the tree? Anything good?
PlayStation.
When that came, that was
crazy.
It.
Yeah. Huh? It changed my life. It changed my school habits.
I was going to say, your parents would probably say not for the better.
No way. That's when kids quit going outside right about that time frame. So all my, you know, all the friends, you know, I was one of those kids. I blamed it on other. Well, then none of the other kids are outside, so I guess I'll stay inside, and it, you know, kind of worked.
All right.
Nah, we were outside like crazy. Well, I guess up until that point, that was a crazy time when that PlayStation came out.
Oh yeah, everybody.
Golly.
Got to play the bit, and now it's all so high tech. It's a handheld, and you're walking around. I mean, who knows where the technology is leading there with the games? I mean, you don't even know because you're too young. You're not an old fart like I am, that to go to a video game arcade and put a quarter into an arcade machine, you have no idea what any of us are talking about.
No
with that,
way.
Right?
No way.
They like have those at the mall now, and it's almost like it's just for reminiscing for the older people.
Yeah.
because you look in them and there's no kids in them.
You just kind of like you walk through the mall and you kind of just check it off. Like, yeah, this place is fun. They got an arcade, and you just kind of keep walking.
You know, nobody ever goes over there.
You don't go in there, no.
With one of those. All right. So you've done a bunch of different ventures for Buccaneer Community Relations, including stuff around holiday time. What does it mean as a professional athlete in the NFL to be able to give back, go help the needy at holiday time, whether it's Thanksgiving or whether it's Christmas holiday or whatever the case is?
No, we're just incredibly blessed. I keep saying it to just have what we have and to be a part of what we are a part of. And, you know, I feel like, you know, that's part of what, you know, God kind of gave us these things to be able to give back in the ways that we can. You know, we have potential on the field and with this, the stuff that we've been given, you know, being on TV, all these different things. We also have potential to go to the schools and different places and change the mind frames of, you know, the kids. You know, they idolize us so much, just like I did growing up. And so I know how it was growing up and looking at, you know, these pictures of guys and watching them on TV and saying, like, hey, like, I'd love to, you know, be like that or, you know, have that opportunity. And it really ain't about telling them about, you know, you can be in the NFL or nothing like that. It's just being there for the kid and showing them, hey, somebody cares about you and you can be something successful. You don't, you know, not necessarily football. And so I think, you know, it's that is part of our potential as players.
Well, and you just hit on something that the educators that are out there listening were nodding along while you said it, which is that if you have your grades, if you have your education, Roy, everything is, and I know you have your degree from the University of Texas, everything is open to you if you have your grades and you have your education, right? I know that's what you're saying.
No doubt. And, I mean, it's crazy. A lot of our kids, you know, younger generation, you know, they just think they're going to play sports and do these things and they think it's going to be easy. But like I said, you got to go there and just us saying, hey, you know, keep your grades up. Do, you know, I enjoy reading books and I tell them. And now all of a sudden, you know, they, you know, the same thing their parents been telling them is like all of a sudden it clicks just because, you know, Rondé Barber or somebody like that says it. And, you know, like I said, that's a special gift that we have and we have to take advantage of that.
Again, the voice of Roy Miller with us here on Buccaneers Total Access as we roll along on this Friday night before the matchup with the Broncos. We will take your phone calls, 990-4620. Again, if you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free, 1-800-596-BUCKS, wherever you can hear the show. Ring in, give us a shout here tonight, 1-800-596-2827, toll free. And again, you can also tweet. I think I'm going to put the picture of you in the hat up on Twitter. We'll do that here during the timeout so the fans can see it. You can go to Twitter at Bucks Sideline Guy, BUC, Bucks Sideline Guy. Tweet a question or see that picture coming up. And more with Roy Miller in a moment on the Buccaneers Radio Network. We are back in here on Buccaneers Total Access. As the Bucs get set to take on the Denver Broncos Sunday at 4 o'clock. And, again, we'll be on the air at 3 there from Denver. Buccaneers' first trip in there since 2008. Now, you played – this is a logical one before we go back to the phones. You played in the Big 12. Did you play at Colorado?
Yeah.
On the road in Texas? So a lot's being made about the thinner air, the altitude. What was it like to play in the altitude in college? What kind of adjustment, or is it kind of overblown?
I mean, it was a slight adjustment, I guess, in pregame. I don't know if it was just to talk about it or what, but we just kind of, we kind of adjusted right, I guess, after pregame warm-ups. We went out there and warmed up, and then we felt good during the game.
A lot of players you will see will use oxygen on the sideline, especially players that have to do a lot of running in the game. I don't know if you had to do that in the matchup. Yeah, you're raising your hand. Okay, why not? It's radio. Does it just feel as though you got to have help getting a breath every now and then because the air is thinner? Is that kind of how it works?
I think it'll be a big mental gymnastics if you let it. Like I said, Coach Yano's, our big thing is preparation, and he's been telling us about, you know, just it really takes your body a couple of days to kind of get used to that climate and or to kind of adjust to the climate. So us getting there the day before and going in and coming right back out, our bodies won't have time to make that. Our bodies won't, you know, transition over and go into that phase where it starts wearing itself out, trying to, you know, overcome the altitude.
Interesting that not being there as long would help more so than being longer to adjust. But I know the coach was extensive on that at his news conference on Friday, saying, hey, we have looked into this. We have talked to doctors, and I don't doubt any of this, about what is the best approach. And he said, hydrate. That's what's going to correct any and all of it.
And you see, I got three drinks right here. I'm
Roy's got Gatorades, waters. Hey. He is
coach.
He's hydrating as we speak and following the protocol. All right, again, 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Dan is in Brooksville here tonight on with Roy Miller on Buccaneers Total Access. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Roy. Glad to speak to you. I never had the opportunity to meet you, but undoubtedly, with you talking about how important it is that you guys as role models, I really appreciate that, having two children of my own and seeing what you guys do. And they really do follow you, you know, and you're so right in that approach. You know, when you talk about with the Rondé Barber, you know, you just commented on about how important it is. You know, you guys say reading books and finally something clicks. You get it, man. You really do.
Appreciate
and I really tell – I really try to be a role model myself for my children, and they follow Dad a lot as well, so I kind of feel you there. But my son's with me now, and undoubtedly he had a question, so
cool.
I want to approach you with it, all
cool.
right? Well, now, with the defensive, with the quarterback situation, with trying to go out in Denver, we know the odds are against us here, but undoubtedly – you know, there were a lot of guys picking us against the Falcons. It was a heartbreaker. But sometimes in life, I always preach to him that if you continue to try your best, and if you continue to reach your potential and do your very best, you will overcome all kinds of odds. And I believe that this Buccaneer team has done that with Coach Shiana. The coaching staff has done wonderful. We have really overcome a lot of things. Being the injuries on defensive and offensive lines, which I think are probably the most important part of the game, even though it's a team effort. But what are your thoughts on this? You know, as far as going out there, is Rondé going to play corner? he's a Rondé Barber fan, brother. All right, he's just like nuts over him.
Okay.
So, all right, I'll let you go from there.
Dan.
I'll let you speak, and I'll talk to you later. Thanks a lot for taking my call. I appreciate it, Roy.
Yeah, all right. Well, the first thing is, as the head coach has said, the decision to play Rondé at corner is his and the coaching staff, and at this time, they're not looking at that, so there's the answer from the coach. Now, in terms of, I mean, he had a lot of comments there, so let's just boil it down to going out and getting after the Broncos. What a challenge it is. What must you do fundamentally to be ready to go?
Well, number one, we always talk about, our 3-5s here and our physical, which we've been taking care of all week, and our emotional, like all these things that, that we've been working on so far that are going to lead up to the game are definitely what we have to prepare for. A lot of people don't understand, it's not easy to go out there every week and to, put on a consistent performance, in the NFL. As you go on later into the year, you got guys getting tired, you got all types of situations that, can tell you, to taper down, tamper, guys play. And so, I think that, Coach Shiano, I keep saying it, has done a great job preparing us and, keeping us focused on the things that we need to be focused on. And like I said, at the end of the week, we feel like we are, we have out-prepared our opponent every week because, we listen to what he says, we completely trust him, and, we just go out there and execute, with, full confidence.
Well, and this is maybe something that's lost on the national media and the pundits, but it's not so much lost on the local media covering here or the fans that are here. Roy, you guys have played 11 games. You have won 6 of them. You have been in all 11 of them. The argument can be made you could have won all of the ones that you lost because it came down to the final possession or two in every one of the losses.
Yeah.
There is something to be said for playing 11 games and putting 11 quality performances where you're in position to win all 11 games. I mean, that speaks to some consistency. I know you want to win them all, but that speaks to some consistency that you guys have been right there in every one of them.
Yeah, we fight, man. And like, you know, I've always been told that, you know, the players mirror their coach. And I really believe that, like I said, like every single week, like coach, you know, he lays it right out and he lays it right in front of us. Exactly the goals of the week, everything, like just to keep us like just so focused in on the things that we got to do. And like you, I mean, it's just so hard. You know, you want to think that guys can go out there every week and just, you know, go out there and just do, you know, just ball out or whatever, but it's not the case. You know, like coach says, like, you know, you look at different games, you wonder like, why did this team get blown out, or this team, you know, just, you know, why would that happen? You know, this is an NFL team, and you know, the week before they, you know, played this team close. And like I said, like there's so many different, you know, aspect of the game, and I've never been around a coach that focuses on, you know, just so many things outside of actually going out there and practicing, because there really are so many other factors that, you know, play into a, you know, an athlete's performance on Sunday.
Again, the voice of Roy Miller with us here tonight. By the way, I have put the picture on Twitter of you in the Santa hat, so they can go to Buck Sideline Guy, BUC, Buck Sideline Guy, and see the picture there so we can verify that he is truly in the holiday spirit. And again, you can tweet a question or a comment there as well. How about this? Somebody just tweeted me before we go back to the phones and says, high altitude battle that with hydrating, put aspirin into the thin blood. He says, I spent a week in Ecuador recently at 9,500 feet, and this stuff helps. Go Bucks. How about that?
Man, that's a
9,500
great...
feet is two
Golly.
Miles up. Yeah.
I will be fully prepared if, you know, I'll do that. Thank you for that tip.
How about that? Hydrate. All right. Now, you want to know the reach of Buccaneers Total Access? We go to Pennsylvania. Here is Justin in Pennsylvania listening in tonight on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey, Justin.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Cool.
I have kind of a question and a comment. First of all, I'm a huge fan of the show. I listen to it every day on my way home from work on my phone. And I had a question. I wanted to ask Roy, what's it like when you guys, I know you guys usually fly, when you go on the road, you guys usually fly the games on Friday. And then I just always wondered what it's like, what do you guys do like Saturday? Like, are you guys allowed to just like go around the city or like go out to eat whenever you want? And then,
did you have another question? Go ahead.
Sorry. And then my comment was, I'm a huge fan up here in Pennsylvania. There's not a lot of us. I also wanted to comment to Roy. I went to the game in 2009 against the Redskins. It was really hot out. It was beginning of October. And, oh, my God, there's like a couple of us Bucs fans, and the Redskins fans were quiet the whole game. But, man, they were freaking drinking a lot. And they threw the touchdown to Santana Moss. They freaking, oh, man, they were barking us out. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you very much for
now, Justin. Hey, real quick, are you from this area, or you just adopted the Bucks as your team in Pennsylvania? I'm curious, real quick.
Yeah. I'm from Pennsylvania. I've never been out of Tampa. I want to go, but I've always liked the Bucks ever since the Super Bowl. I love all the players on them.
There
I've just
go.
Been a huge fan.
Okay,
thanks,
Justin.
Thanks, Justin.
Be well. All right. So, back to the original question. There, what do you think?
No, I mean, well, we normally leave on Saturday. Well, we always leave on Saturday.
Right.
And, I mean, you know, we go there. We have our meetings. Well, first thing we do, you know, we get on a plane. You know, the rookies, you know, bring the meals around, whatever the meals that the older guys wanted. And, you know, we get there, and they have a dinner that you go to. And then, you know, we have chapel, mass, and then we just go straight into meetings. And so – you know, for us, it's not, you know, really a go around the city type deal. We just go there. We, you know, we go to our meetings. Actually, we don't leave the hotel. And so when we go places, we do what we got to do, and we just prepare.
Now, previous, Coach Morris and his staff would go out a day early. Coach Gruden and his staff would do that on the West Coast. And I know Coach Schiano, again, talked openly about this week, that he really feels that it's better to go the day before, go a little earlier on the day before, right, stay on Eastern time, and go that way. And you guys have done that now successfully, right, a couple of times, going into different time zones, including out to Oakland.
Right.
So it's just interesting that different coaches have different philosophies, but it obviously worked out in Oakland, where you guys played very well.
Yeah, it works. It's kind of awkward, having, your room checked at 8 o'clock, and you're watching the sun go down there, slowly
right,
setting.
Because it's actually 11 back home.
But, the first time it was just kind of weird, but, we woke up in the morning and we're in the locker room looking at each other like, man, we feel great, and that was a great idea. And after the game, we were glad that we did it that way, and it just worked out.
Again, you can join us on the phones, 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free, 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827 is the toll-free number for you to join us there, wherever you can hear the show, if you want to give the shout out here. All right, I got into this a little bit. If earlier when we were talking Total Access, if you had not been a football player, what did you want to do? I mean, I know you probably dreamed of being a football player, but what else would you have? What would you be doing?
I guess
right
football coach doesn't count, right?
You could have been a coach. Yeah, that could count.
Playing football, I don't know. Just playing football, I guess, just living the life that I've lived, just kind of, it's changed my things
if
that
I'm
I wanted
correct,
to do.
Your father was in the military.
Yep.
And did you ever have a thought about going into the military or no?
I did, growing up, my dad was a hero to me, and, I did want to do that, and I wanted to be like him, but, I just kind of, he was always telling me about going to college and doing these things, and when I got there, I just kind of seen something. And as I, gone along my pro career, I've kind of, changed different things that I want to do. But I don't know. I'm kind of interested in the sports psychology.
Really?
Yeah, because, Coach Schiano kind of breaks it down easily with, the psychology of the game. But I'm just interested in how, just the, different people have the, the fear and what separates a guy, because – there's so many guys that I've played with that are, just monsters. They look like they can go out there and dominate, but they don't. Or, and everybody's always looking for that answer. Everybody always asks me, what does it take or this or that? And, I just tell them, hard work, and then I think about it and I'm like, there's a lot more things to it. I mean, I would like to kind of go back to school and kind of learn some things about the mind and, fear of failure, all those different things
right,
that goes through your mind as a player, trying, or, as a person trying to get
to the top.
You got
a little Sigmund Freud in you, is what you're saying. You want to find out why things work and why they don't work, because that's, the mental aspect of this game.
Crazy.
You're about to go, and you know this, and you were talking about it earlier, you're about to go against one of the most mental guys that's played this game the last 20 years in Peyton Manning in terms of what he can see and react to and realize. It's amazing to hear, those that have played quarterback that are on TV or whatever talk about, I couldn't do that. When I played, I could not think that way, see that, do that in that kind of time frame. The mental aspect of pro sports, I think that gets lost on some people. It's not just being the biggest or the fastest, right?
No doubt. Especially trying to think like that while getting hit. A lot of people will make some dumb decisions. Somebody 400 pounds about to hit them.
It's funny that you say that. Mike Williams was in here Monday night, and Mike said to us after throwing that pass on Sunday against the Falcons, and I quote, "I don't know how Josh does that," because you got people suddenly like you that are sprinting, that are 300 pounds, coming right at you, about to crush you as you're trying to make sure that you throw a tight spiral and get it where it has to go. Not as easy as it looks, as 19 was saying the other night. So,
yeah,
there you go. It's your job to disrupt.
There's people that can't wait to put a picture up of you and just, a picture of themselves on top of you, just like with the grimace on your face, look on your face. And, that's a tough – and make those decisions and check downs – That's a tough position, man, and I mean, all the positions are, but, you know, like we were saying, you know, just the mental side of this game. And like I was saying, Coach Shiano, I mean, I've never been around a coach that puts it all together like this. You know, there's so much other things to the game and you know, that people just mistake. And I've learned so much this year from, you know, just, you know, we talk about building our fires, you know, throughout the week, and just it's all about getting prepared, you know, mentally, physically, and emotionally. And all three of those things have to be addressed, you know, throughout the week. So, you know, when the game comes, your fire burns throughout the game. And like I said, I've learned so much just, you know, just sitting there in those meetings. And it's been a joy this year.
That is the voice of Roy Miller. We'll pause. If you're on the phones, hang on. We'll get a couple more comments in. We'll talk a little more about the Broncos as this Friday night of Buccaneers Total Access continues here. Stay with us on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Down the home stretch here with Roy Miller, Buccaneers defensive tackle, as he and his mates get ready to go to Denver and take on the Broncos. And a couple of you have been waiting, so we'll get to your comments, and then we'll get one final preview before we get out of here and get ready for this game on Sunday. Steve is in Venice. You are next with us here on Buccaneers Total Access. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Roy. DJ, how you doing tonight?
I'm good. How you doing, Steve?
Good. Real quick, there's a lot talked about this week about Jamaal Charles getting the autograph from Peyton Manning after the game. As a defensive player, would you rather make a big play against Peyton or get his autograph afterwards?
No doubt would I love to make a play. It's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of, you know, Jamaal used to be my roommate. Jamaal Charles used
How about
to be
that?
My roommate at Texas.
I didn't know. I knew you played
right.
with him. I didn't know he was your roommate.
So,
Jamaal ever asked for your autograph?
No.
You were MVP of the Fiesta Bowl. He didn't want your autograph?
No.
Come
no.
on.
But, I mean, I don't know. I'd rather make a play and do it like that. I mean, there's times for that.
And in fairness to Jamaal, this is well after the game.
Right.
If you didn't see it, Roy, the Broncos are all the way out at, like, airport security getting ready to leave the stadium, and Jamaal came over to him in their street clothes, shook his hand, wanted a quick autograph. I, for one, don't see what the big deal about that part of it is, that it's well after the game. Right. It would have been no different if he sees Peyton Manning at an event and goes over and says, hey, can I have an autograph? Because the guy's a Hall of Famer. That's just my opinion. But you can understand where some are creating controversy because they just decide they have to create controversy.
No
right?
doubt. I mean, I understand both sides of it. You know, he's a legend. You know, like I said, all of us that play, we have a great deal of respect for the players, you know, despite, you know, what we want to do to them or, you know, how we want to beat them or they want to beat us, we have a great deal of respect for each other. And so, you know, at the end of the day, I could see, you know, why. But, you know, at the same time, you know, he could have done that at the Pro Bowl last year or something like that. You know, I don't know. But, you know, certain guys, you know, feel like that's okay. I don't, you know, especially after a loss. You know,
but leave it alone.
Just, you know, I don't know. Everybody thinks differently, but for me, I would have been upset. I would have been the first one out the locker room going home. I would have been angry looking at Peyton Manning. But
I heard Jerry Rice say this earlier in the week, and Jerry was this way. Jerry said, when I won and the game was over with, I wanted nothing to do with the other team. I wanted to celebrate with my teammates.
Right.
And when I lost, I was so angry, I didn't want to look at the other guys. I wanted to go be with my teammates to get over the loss. And he said, so I would have never sought out an autograph. I would have never given an autograph, and no one ever asked me either way. So it's just different how different people react in that way. Now, here's a good one. You guys went head-to-head against the Chiefs and against Jamaal Charles earlier this year. What was that like? Welcome to the NFL and how weird it can be that you're going after a guy that was your college roommate and your teammate at Texas.
It was crazy. You know, you play on a team with a guy for so long and you just kind of, you know, you get that kind of bond and, you know, you don't expect to play against them, but then you come to the NFL and – you see him, and you know, we're just kind of joking around. And I'm tweeting him like, "Hey man, give me some tips on the Chiefs scheme and stuff like that." And you know, we're just kind of playing around like that and stuff. But you know, it's cool. You know,
Get a lick on him in that game?
I did.
And what happened? Did he get up and say good hit, or did he not make eye contact?
I didn't even look at him. I didn't. I felt some ways about it. But I was just kind of got up and. After the game, he was just like, "Oh, you know, you could have took it easy on us today," and it's just kind of funny.
I like it. All right, Pete in Tampa, you'll be last on the phones here as we get out of here in a couple of moments. You're here with Roy Miller on the Buccaneers Radio Network, Pete.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for taking my call. Yep. TJ, you know I could be a little bit long-winded, so I'll try to make it really quick, man. Roy, anybody who doesn't – you know, I've been a Bucs fan since 79, so – anybody who doesn't know your story, they need to listen in to it because it's a great story of perseverance and some of the stuff that you had to go through to get where you're at now. So I really appreciate that. And I know that people really don't know you as a person, but you're an excellent person and a great role model, like that guy was saying. So that's a great thing.
Thanks, Pete.
You know, it is awesome to be a Buccaneer fan and still be talking about meaningful games in December this year. I didn't expect it. I don't think a lot of people did, but it's a great, great feeling. Okay. And the only things I wanted to ask you is, when, you know, I'm just an average fan. I don't know a lot about football. I know I've been watching tons of games, and I've been watching Bucs games forever. But I'm looking at the game, and Peyton Manning just seems to dissect people. And I was just curious if you could explain it from your word. When you're going into a film room and seeing what this guy is doing to people, it seems like he's waiting to the last second for you to make all your shifts and try to disguise all your coverages before he hikes the ball. He's waiting for that last second to see exactly what you're going to do.
Pete, we got to go in like 90 seconds, so we'll pick it on that point.
All right, no problem. Thank you. God bless you guys. Y'all have a great night. Right. Thanks for taking my call.
So on that point that he's trying to figure out, this is every week, but especially with this guy, he's trying to figure out what you're doing at all times, even right before the snap.
No doubt. The guy uses all the time that he can to get to look at the defense, to see, you know, the, you know, hard count, to see who's going to move, to see what he can, you know, get his guys into the best situation to make a play. Like, you know, like I said, you watch film and the guy's a machine, and, you know, we're just going to have to go out there. We're going to have to stick to our technique, stick to the things that we've been talking about all week and, you know, and like every week, you know, just hope to make more plays than they do.
Can't wait for Sunday, huh?
Can't wait.
Here we
I'm
go.
I'm excited.
This is what it's all about. Like Pete was saying, you're in December. Yeah. And meaningful games, big time game on Sunday for all the implications that go along with it. Listen, you did a great job tonight on Total Access.
Thank you.
We appreciate it, Roy Miller. Good luck against the Broncos,
and
we'll talk
to
you again. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thanks.
All right, and Eric Sachs, thanks to him. Back at the station, Jeff Ryan here at One Buck Place. And again, Buccaneers and Broncos, we're on the air at 3:04 will be kick time from Denver. We look forward to it in another edition of Buccaneers Total Access again next Friday night on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night.